All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Going to be breaking down the RBC Heritage here for you guys, giving you guys a preview, some core plays, some values, and a first look build. Let's go in and get into it. So looking at the RBC Heritage this week, it is going to be played at Harbortown Golf Links. It is a par 71 and kind of a normal size track at 7213 for the yardage. Looking at the weather, you know, nothing too crazy here. It's looking like it's going to be ideal conditions. Really, the downer about this tournament this week is that it's going to be a signature event, which means it's 70 players and it's a no-cut event. That's going to drastically change our strategy from what it had been in years past. Now, I do want to start real quickly before I get into the deep dive of the RBC Heritage. Let's start with a quick recap from last week for the Masters as well. So looking at guys last week, just jumping into the 9-to-5 player pool, very good stuff there. 19 out of 21 golfers made the cut. Wyndham Clark being the golfer that missed the cut on the top end. He was a risk reward play, GPP only play. And then Austin Eckroat, who was a value play that, you know, missed the cut on the numbers. Both him and Wyndham Clark did as well. So it ended up being a pretty predictable week. I will say the one thing that was very much a head scratcher, and I mentioned this, I think, on the showdown video as well, for the Masters for round three, the ownership on Russell Henley was, to me, one of the biggest head scratchers I have seen in cash. In cash, he was like 40% owned compared to like Corey Connors, who was a much better play on paper and much safer play on paper. Now, you know, neither of them really finished well, but Corey Connors was like an extremely safe play. Like, he was just a very easy plug and play for cash. But really, just in comparison, or just in general, Russell Henley should never have been 40% owned in cash. That was a head scratch. I don't get how anyone really played him in cash. Like, he should have been higher owned in GPPs last week than he should have been in cash, because he's a GPP only play. He was a risk reward play. You weren't playing him for his safety at all. Like, that was the downside of Russell Henley as a play, is that he was extremely risky. But the reward was that he could potentially win you a GPP because he could provide top 10 upside. So, like, I don't get why so many people chased that last week, because it was an event with a cut. Now, they did get lucky with how the cut line fell. But this week, however, and that's part of the reason why I'm bringing this up, is that he actually could be a better play this week, because we don't have to worry about the risk. This is a no-cut event. And so playing golfers like Russell Henley, for instance, make more sense, because you don't really care about the risk. You just want the reward. And so he's going to make more sense this week. And I would argue, even at a higher price tag this week, he should be higher on than he was last week in cash. That being said, probably still not going to be a cash play as price tag, because we have a pretty clear strategy for these no-cut events. So as you guys know by now, my content is very much geared towards giving you guys profitable advice. That's really my concentration with all the content I get out to you guys, is what content is going to lead you guys to a profitable approach. And the strategy with no cut events is going to be just doing studs and duds. We have seen that time and time again. This is something that I have had to learn the hard way, but over the past like 2 years now, it's been very clear that this is the strategy that we can go with. So really, in simple, you're going to play just Scotty. Now, I'll get into Scotty in a second, what to do with his wife potentially going to labor, but you also, like, he's a clear cut play. Then you got Xander, who's going to be the second best play this week. Rory's still extremely high priced. I don't get it. Price him correctly so we can think about playing Rory. It's kind of getting annoying at this point, but really, you could start out with the top two easy plays in Scotty Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, and then you're just going to go with some of the values. Now, you could blindly just click the last like four guys down here. I'm not saying do that. We have some decent values that we could get to that I'll touch on in this video, but that's generally the strategy, because you are essentially just trying to lock in two top five finishes. Well, let's just say top 10 finishes, but a top 10 and then like a first or second or third, you know, really get those bonus points. And these players on the lower end, the point difference that they're going to score compared to like these golfers in this range is much more reduced than a golfer that finishes, let's say, top 15 compared to top 10 for these guys. Now, what you want to do though for these values is focus on golfers that are going to provide a better fantasy score than what their salary is ranked, if that makes sense. That's what you should be concentrating on. And so with that, let's go ahead and get into this week. So looking at the course history for this tournament, golfers that have made multiple starts at this tournament, Corey Connors is going to be coming in with some of the best course history, especially in terms of golfers that have made multiple starts at this tournament, finishing 36th, 12th, 4th, 21st. He's going to be someone that we're looking at again this week. A little bit of a disappointment last week. I would say he did his job, but didn't do much more than that last week. He's still going to be someone that we're looking at. Justin Rose has played well in two starts here. Justin Thomas, 19th, 35th, and 8th. Brian Harman has really played well here as well. But what's kind of the thing that's sticking out to you guys here? A lot of the big name players, haven't really played this event too much. That's the big thing here. And part of the reason why they're playing it this week, well, the only reason why they're playing it this week compared to last year is because it's a signature event. And personally, I don't like the fact that it's a signature event. This is one of my favorite courses, one of my favorite tournaments typically. And I hate that they did this to the tournament where they're kind of watering it down, which sounds weird to say, but they're watering it down by making it a signature event. It's kind of unfortunate that it's a no-cut event because really Thursday, Friday, doesn't matter. It's tough to get out for it. But let's go ahead and jump into recent form now. So what I find interesting here is that Aubert has actually jumped Xander for second best in recent form rank. And I say that because I factor in made cuts. And obviously Xander has like 40, almost 50 plus made cuts now in a row on the PGA Tour, which is awesome. But regardless, we're going to see that those three players are going to be the best in recent form. Popping up in there is Tom Hoagie as well, which is interesting. Cameron Young in there, Tagala, Siwoo Kim, Rory. And this goes back to saying, why the heck is Rory that high price? Like maybe 10K, but not 11K. He's just too high priced. Even after a miscut last week, Wyndham Clark still popping up in pretty good form. But with that, let's go ahead now and jump into the stat fits. So one interesting thing about this week compared to how the tournament has played in the past is that it is going to have some bigger name players playing in it. So if these key stats that have been the key stats over the past like 6 years now at this tournament, or, you know, going back further than that as well, if they don't hold up to be the key stats again this year, I think we might just look at the different style of players that are playing here. But time in and time again, we know what to expect at this tournament. It's going to be ball striking, strokes gained approach. Those two correlate pretty well together. It's going to be par four scoring. It's going to be good drive percentage. If you want to look at greens and regulation, it's going to be that as well. But effective scoring as well. I do want golfers that are just playing good, safe golf. This is a course where you kind of just need to not play fun golf. You just need to hit the correct shots on each hole. And in a weird way, it might not be fun for players, but it's kind of fun to watch because it is a very disciplined type course. At the same time, you can score on it when you're hitting it well. So I don't know. I'm excited to see how it played. But looking at the top stat fits, again, no real shocks here. Akshay popping up in there, maybe a slight shock, but still signature event. We're going to be chasing all the best golfers. And so specialist data-wise, that's just looking at all the unique characteristics for that week's tournament. With it being a signature event, I don't know. I don't really care to look at that too much this week. So I'm just going to pass on that section of this video. So let's just go ahead and get into the top plays for this week. And so really the biggest issue that I have with this week, guys, is the fact that it is going to be the week after the Masters. Where are golfers going to be at mentally? Like, are they going to be feeling the same way I do about this event, where it does feel just a little bit watered down after a major? Like, this is an event that's super fun to play in. And how are those golfers that, you know, maybe played really well for four rounds at the Masters, how are they going to respond this week? That's my biggest question. Scotty, I do think we just play him. But obviously the issue with Scotty here is the fact that his wife is currently pregnant. He was pretty much saying that if his wife went into labor, that he would not play the Masters at any point, pretty much. We're going to have to worry about that again this week. Now, she is apparently due at the end of the month. And personally, he seems to me someone that would kind of try to plan that stuff out. And I'm sure that's what they are planning on, is after this event, they might even have it scheduled. And so obviously the baby can come early and whatnot. But as it sits right now, I just kind of feel like we are planning on Scotty being good to go and play in this one. And if he is kind of the clear-cut pay-up again, because data point-wise, there is nothing that says he's going to have a bad week. Everything is saying he's going to be the best play possible on paper, like it said last week. Literally no data points are going to suggest him have a bad week. He's an easy plug and play. Again, the only concern with him is going to be the potential for him to have to withdraw. The next easy plug and play is going to be Xander as well. Xander actually, on the backside of this guy's a little bit, Xander was actually really close to being just as good of a play as Scotty on paper, because just like Scotty, he has no bad data points. Maybe the course history, where 4 years ago he finished 64th, but last year third place finish here. And if we just look across the board, stat fit wise, he's second best in the field. Recent form wise, third best in the field. So just across the board, he's going to be the second best play on paper. And so really the issue with this week is kind of the same as last week. It's like, do you pay up for Scotty and need to him to like finish top two pretty much, or do you just go with Xander, or do you go with both? And so right now I've kind of defaulted to playing both, and I'll tell you guys, that's going to be able to work out pretty well. That's going to be up to you guys though if you want to do that. If you are worried about Scotty potentially withdrawing, then you could go Xander. But again, we want to be paying up for one of those two. From there, it does become more difficult. Aubert is the play I want to get to the most, I would say, as pricing. And again, if you're not playing Scotty, you could easily go Xander and Aubert. To me, both great plays. Specialist wise, he's the third best in the field, fifth best staff at second best in recent form rank. Just really an elite play. And for him, we have seen time and time again that him not having course history hasn't really mattered. He should be good to go for this tournament. This tournament actually sets up extremely well for his style of game as well. I think he makes for a great outright bet if you guys want to go with that route. Patrick Cantlay, I don't mind. He's played this course really well. What did I say about this course? This is a course where you kind of need to be disciplined. It's kind of boring golf. No shock that he's played well at this tournament, right, over the past two starts here. So that's someone we could be looking at this week. And then Matt Fitzpatrick as well, a highly calculated golfer. Again, makes sense why he has played well at this tournament. Last year's defending champ. He is a play that you could easily get to at such a soft price tag. Now, where it gets a little bit different is that Jordan Spieth has played really well at this tournament as well, because he has had a second and a first place finish. This on paper shouldn't exactly be a course where he plays well, but he has good vibes here, so you could be looking at him. But the player that we want to get into the most is actually going to be Wyndham Clark, who kind of shocking to some people probably, right? Now, he didn't have any Masters tournament history, but he ended up missing the cut on the number, had a pretty good round going in the first round, and then he just kind of let it get away. Kind of unlucky with a wedge shot that really derailed his whole tournament in round one. I think that was on hole like 10. But regardless, wasn't terrible from him last week, and this is a tournament where I think we're going to be good to go with him. We have seen him really step up and play well in other big events, and by big events I mean big payout events, and so he's someone that I firmly think we should be looking at. He does have that course history. Like to see that there from him. Good staff fit, good specialist at that price tag. I think he's gonna be highly appealing, and I also think that not that many people will be on him because he didn't produce that well last week. And then last of kind of the studs is actually Cameron Young, and I feel like that's the cutoff. Tagala is going to be a good GPP play, but for me, the last of the studs that I want to be going out of my way to target is going to be Cameron Young, and he's priced at 8.7. You can get him at some pretty good odds to win as well. But looking at it, guys, Cameron Young, we see not a good finish here last year, but prior to that, third. And so he's someone that if we catch him hitting the ball well, we can catch him on a victory. And this kind of feels like a spot for him to win. It just does to me. Looking at recent form-wise, top 10 place finish last week, second the week before that. He is sporting four top 10 finishes over his past seven starts, which is elite. We look at all the key metrics for this week, guys. Top 10 or better in the field in all those as well. So to me, he's kind of the clear-cut pay up, but we're not having to pay up that much for him because he's 8.7. And so for me, at that price tag, 8.7, I think we need to be going out of our way to roster Cameron Young as well. And if we play him, we won't be able to fit in, obviously, all those players in. So we'll have to make some decisions. I'll show you guys that at the end of this video. But let's go ahead and move on. We do have some other decent plays. So Shane Lowry is going to be looking like a good play again this week. Now, last week, Shane Lowry was definitely a little bit of a disappointment with how his closing rounds went. He has finished third and ninth at this tournament. Also, some bad starts mixed in here, but he can play well at this tournament. Six straight make cuts on the PGA Tour now. He has multiple top 10 finishes over his past, or top five finishes over his past four starts. Really good staff fit. You know, at this price tag, he is certainly worth the risk. There's not really that much risk with it. He's actually a pretty safe play on paper, a play that I certainly like. Another play that's going to be a very good play on paper is going to be Corey Connors. He is coming in, checking all the boxes again like he was last week. And my only concern with like Shane Lowry and Corey Connors is that if this like wasn't a cut-based event, I'd be like, yeah, we're playing them. They're going to give us, at least Connors for sure, he's going to give us a great chance at a made cut. You know, just coming in, checking all the boxes, just a strong cash play on paper. My worry with him, however, is that it is a cut-based event. If he just gives us a top 30 place finish, he's not going to help us. He's probably won't hurt our bills, but he's not going to help us. And this is where it just makes more sense to go with a value play that might finish. Let me rephrase that. If Corey Connors finishes in the top 50% in the field, which what? It's a 70. So yeah, around 30. Never mind. Around 30 plays for a finish. Let's just say he does that. And then we have a value play that only finishes about top 40. Well, more likely than not, the value play is going to make up the difference of that of Corey Connors. Now, Corey Connors is a great play on paper, should be a safe play for you guys. Wouldn't be surprising to see him have an upside place finish like he has had in the past with the 12th, 4th, you know, just really good starts here at this tournament. He clearly likes it. And if you like adjust those results for a 70-man field event, this is probably closer to a top 25. This is closer to a 9th place finish. 4th, you're probably not going to get better than that, but you guys get it. Like, chances are he will finish well at this tournament. But again, the pricing makes him more difficult of a play. Then from there, Brian Harman is looking like a great play. This is a course that does fit his game. Now, he was a play that a lot of people want to be on last week. I didn't exactly see it that way. Just I get it. Like majors, you just kind of want to be on them. But this is a course that does fit his game. Obviously, really good course history here as well. Top 11 play in the 9-5 model. You're chasing that course history, but you're also chasing the fact that he also seems to play well at those signature style events. And then for me, guys, I kind of feel like we can just pass upon most of these plays here. Taylor Moore is now too priced up for us to really consider as a play. Shout out to Taylor Moore, though. Carried me in some season-long best ball leagues. Love it there from you, Taylor Moore. Very good Masters tournament as well. But yeah, he's just kind of too priced up now to the point where he's tough to get to. And so for me, I'm just going to be going down to below 7K. And so this, again, we're doing this because we really want to be focused on doing studs and duds. And so for me, with the values that I want to be on, it's going to be Lucas Glover. Lucas Glover has had pretty good results at this tournament in the past. One missed cut here last year. Other than that, you know, pretty good finishes. If he gives us those finishes here again, I'd be fine with that. I'd be happy with that. He's going to be a top 20 staff hit, top 20 in recent form as well, with a top 20 place finish last week, 3 straight make us. Now, he's been playing solid golf for quite some time. Like, even if we look at his missed cuts, it's really just due to one bad round mixed in there. So right here at the Players, a bad opening round, shot 69 the next round. Kind of the same thing here where, you know, kind of one bad round at the Sony Open, still not a bad start. And so chances are he's going to give us a desirable finish or result at this price. So I think he's someone we could clearly play at that cheap price tag. Again, we want to be targeting studs and duds. From there, EVR is fine. Like, I don't mind him. The play that I actually like more than the 9-5 model is telling us is going to be Andrew Putnam, who's just been a solid golfer, and he's someone that should fit this game. We can see he's a top 25 staff fit that we're getting at 6.4. Like, that is awesome. I love that. He does have course experience here, albeit it hasn't been good course history. This past, like, 2-year stretch that he has been on has been the best that he's played in his career, however. And so he's been playing good enough golf. I do think there's a strong chance that he does provide, you know, let's say a top 30 finish. And at this cheap price tag, I'm all for it. He is someone that you would think his style of game would fit this course. It just hasn't come together for him for whatever reason thus far. But again, I do think this is going to be a better week for him this week than he's had in the years past. And then from there, Austin Eckroat, yeah, he's going to be kind of an easy play, I would say. Kind of fell apart on the back nine last week to miss the cut. Still fine. Going to be a good staff hit. Top 21 in the 9-5 model. Again, I think he's going to provide us with a good enough result at this price tag. And if he doesn't, it's kind of like, oh, well, this does feel like the correct play on paper. And, you know, he played well at the Players. Obviously has won. He's just a good enough play at this price tag. Like, I just don't get it. From there, Webb Simpson does love this track. Hasn't played well, you know, over the past 2 starts. He's been playing better thus far this season. He's someone that I think you could get to at a very cheap price tag. If he has a good result, that wouldn't be too shocking. And then that's kind of it in terms of plays. So, like, obviously, we won't be able to fit Scotty, Xander, and Cameron Young into this specific build example. But, you know, where could you potentially make a pivot? You could maybe come off of Xander to get to maybe Corey Connors. Like, I'm fine with that on paper. That looks very good. But maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you just want to go with Xander and Scotty, you know, pretty much try to lock in at least a top 5 finish. I get that. You could definitely do that. So from there, you'd probably just be looking at, for this example, you're probably trying to get lucky with Webb Simpson, who again has been playing better recently. So like something along this format. Now, I do want to give you guys an example as well. Let's say Scotty does withdraw before lineup lock, or we really have to start to have some concerns about him not making a start here. Well, then honestly, the week becomes much easier and much more open on paper as well. So we'd be looking at Xander, Aubert, you could play Cameron Young in there. Like, I feel like that's a very good start. And then you still are going to load up on those values again, because chances are that's going to be the correct strategy again. But then we get a little bit of a conundrum with the pricing, because I do think Austin Eckroat is going to be the correct play. And I think Lucas Glover at that price is going to be the correct play. And then we have 6.9 left over. I'm kind of okay with a bunch of these plays, but don't love any of them. For now, I'd go like EVR. But again, hopefully that's not a big difference as well. I do want to show you guys the first look build on the 9-5 lineup builder as well, just to see if that's telling us the same message. All right, so just looking at right now, value-wise, I'll just show you guys that. It does like Lucas Glover the most, which, you know, again, makes sense. Then it does like Corey Connors, Brian Harman. So I actually like seeing this. I'm not going to have to do too much like manual adjustments to this based off of how I see it. So I love that side of it. We do need to start with 2 data points, though. So whatever, I'm just going to do Lucas Glover, 35% max exposure. Corey Connors, let's say 30. With Connors, let's do 20. And actually with Shane Lowry, let's do 20. Pavon, 20. I don't want to go too crazy with them. And then my max exposure is going to be like 35%. 3 unique players. Let's just show you guys, though, what the data is telling us would be the optimal builds then based off of that. So I wasn't too far off of what the data is saying is the optimal build. Now, I probably do want to get to Scotty a little bit more than this, And let's see if it's getting Scotty in there that much. What I've been having to do is kind of manually update Scotty's projection just because he's been playing so well lately and you just really want to get to him. Just bump it up to like 120 and then that should force him into more builds. And that still didn't really do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lock. Oh, I did Xander. That's why. That'll do it. I will do 120 here then. That should be better. But you could also just lock Scotty into the 35% max exposure. That'll do it as well. And so let's see what it does instead. All right. So lines with Scotty, Connors, Harmon, Moore, Glover, Ekrot, right on par with what I was just kind of telling you guys would work. But again, it doesn't exactly view that as the most optimal build. It actually likes Clark, Tagala. The data does like Tagala a decent amount. Cameron Young, Tony Finau, Brian Harmon, and Lucas Glover. So you guys can work with that. But that's going to be all for today's video. Did just want to give a quick thank you to all the support from you guys last week for the Masters coverage. Was able to get the channel up to 900 subscribers. That was honestly shocking, and I love it. Trying to get to 1,000, though, you know, by the next major. So again, I appreciate that. If you guys want access to any of the tools that you saw in this video, head on over to 9to5sports.com. Those tools are available for just $10 a month. Included in that's going to be all the prop tools as well for Prize Picks and Underdog. If you guys enjoyed the video, make sure to give a like and subscribe. Let's have a good week. And as always, let's keep cashing.